The Daily Racing Podcast from William Hill.
And they're off.
Listen to the podcast at williamhill.com/podcast.
Third festival win and the biggest one today.
Or subscribe via iTunes by searching William Hill Podcasts in the music store.
Hello and welcome to the William Hill Racing Podcast. Alex Dunn here, joined by Rory DeLaghi to look ahead to the best of the action on Saturday. Plenty of action to look forward to as well. Strong cards at Haydock and Newmarket, as well as the Shergar Cup from Ascot to look forward to. Easy for me to say. And hopefully we can point you in the direction of a winner or two. How are you, Rory?
I'm not too bad. Not too bad at all.
Good to hear. As I said, we'll focus on those races in just a few moments. Just a bit of news. Of course, yesterday we had another projected coup, we'll call it. Didn't really work, did it? Can we even call it a coup?
No, we can't. It was the anticipation of a possible coup, both by people who were eagle-eyed enough to spot a few potentially interesting runners from yards with some sort of connection to Barney Curley. We're now looking, it used to be in the old days, Barney trained his own horses, they ran in his colours, you pretty much knew when they were gambled or they weren't. Now with Barney no longer holding a licence and no horses running in his colours these days, you're looking for slightly weaker links to Barney and trying to work out if he might be the man behind any potential gamble that's going on. And people were talking about this at the entry stage, noticing potential a coup horses running. Mm-hmm. And a lot of those were cut in the betting very quickly, but that would have been simply the fact that a few clever punters trying to anticipate a gamble and getting on early and having small multiples. And because the firms got stung very badly in January with Barney's big coup, we say it's Barney's. I mean, again, well, he's never stepped forward and claimed it, but we take that for granted. Because they were stung in January, people move very quickly to avert a repeat of that. But it was obvious very early in the day, the first of those runners ran in the opening maiden at Yarmouth and was backed into a very short price without much money really appearing to change hands. And within 5 minutes of the off, that horse had quadrupled and more in price. And it was clear that this wasn't part of a gamble. And then as we got to more of those runners and they were weak in the market, it was clear that nothing particularly was going on. It's possible there were singles and doubles on the two at Southall who mm-hmm. were strong in the market, a winner and a close second in the last two races there. So that may have been a genuine gamble, but what we saw was just people being a little bit too clever for their own good.
And at the same time, it does open the markets that you mentioned up to the horses that do have the form on the board. I mean, yesterday, Arthur Martin, that you mentioned the first race there, was a clear form pick in the opening race and won at 8-13, but was I think I saw odds against briefly.
Yeah.
While Bang in Trouble went 6-4, and then the comment here is opened 8-1, touched 16-1, yeah, and went off at 12s. It's ludicrous.
And finished dead last.
Finished dead last.
Well, a horse that didn't have, if you looked at the pedigree of you've got to look at the horses first before the connections. That runner was a horse with a pedigree that suggested it wouldn't be making an impact in the maiden, and it was up against Arthur Martin Leake, who'd run an absolute stormer in a strong maiden at Windsor in its previous start behind a group class horse. So it was obvious that he should have been a very strong favourite, and those who ignored the gamble and just took the best price on offer about the likeliest winner didn't have a moment's worry. He won by half the track.
Okay, then on Saturday we've got the Shergar Cup coming from Ascot. Of course, something that I think those that aren't involved in racing get more excited about than those are, if you like, in that it's a bit different, something that has maybe more universal appeal.
Yeah, I think the Shergar Cup is fundamentally a good thing, but it's not a concept that appeals to me. But I understand that racing isn't always about appealing to me 365 days a year. You do need to have a showcase for the sport, for those who wouldn't normally take part. And it is a showcase for foreign jockeys you wouldn't see here on a regular basis. It's brash, it's colourful, it gets people along and gets them talking. So although it's not for the purists, I think you have to be fairly miserable to object to it these days.
No, I think that's fair. And of course, that is tomorrow. Very, very competitive action. We're not going to focus on any of those races on this podcast. We're going to look at two at Haydock and one at Newmarket. And we'll start with Haydock's 220, which is a handicap over the extended mile and 2 furlongs, a Class 2 event with 15 runners down to go to post. Really, really competitive races, but has a decent feel to it. You know where you stand with most of the runners anyway, that there's not many lurkers, if you like. Where should we start with this one?
No, you're absolutely spot on. I do love an older horse handicap because it suits those who watch races on a regular basis and know the form book fairly well. Plenty of these have chances. Not many of them come here in obvious form, but one or two horses sort of shaping better than the result and dropping down the handicap. La Hague, for example, the top weight, has had a fairly torrid time since winning at York in October, and it only finished 9th at Royal Ascot last time out. That was in the Duke of Edinburgh Stakes, but had a pretty tough time there, didn't get the run of the race, gave the impression he was running back into form. He's interesting. Rye House, who was behind De Rigueur at Newmarket last time out, that run was his first after a second after an absence. Mm. Maybe it came too soon for him. He could bounce back. But one that I'm keen on to do just that is Chancery. Kieran Fallon rides for David O'Mara. Again, his form figures don't read tremendously well, and he was last of 7 at Ascot last time out. That was behind hot Ebor favourite Palisator. It was a decent contest, but it was a rather messy one as well. They didn't go very fast, and Chancery, who was held up, never really got into it. What he wants is an end-to-end gallop at trips between 1.25 and 1.6. And his best form, arguably on a flat track as well, goes very well at York, but Haydock will suit him just as well, and they look likely to go a strong pace here. So with him having run a pretty decent race off this handicap mark at York at his previous start, I can see him going close here, and he should be a decent price given that those who look at his last piece of form, as people tend to do, will pass him over. So I'm hoping it's a decent price.
Kieran Fallon takes the rides. Danny Turlope has almost exclusively ridden this horse, at least recently. And because of Chancery's style of running, tends to sort of have to be, travel strongly, really. Whereas Fallon, you know, you're used to seeing him sort of nudge away. It's an interesting jockey booking, isn't it?
It is an interesting jockey booking. It doesn't put me off at all. I mean, Kieran, he's never been the most stylish of jockeys, if you like. I mean, there are jockeys who are very streamlined and very well balanced, and Kieran gets the job done extremely well, but he looks a little bit more agricultural than most flat jockeys while getting it done. I don't think he's going to upset Chancery the way he rides, and he'll ride him as he finds him. He'll be coming from a fair way back. I'd have thought he'd be held up in the last bunch, but with a strong pace almost certainly on the cards, it's just a case of him finding a clear run in the straight.
Okay, so Chancery the pick there in the 220. The next race that we'll look at is the 255. It's the Rose of Lancaster Stakes, a Group 3 contest over, again, the extended mile and 2 furlongs. 9 runners go to post for this one. It's a good race, this, but again, you've got frustrating types. There's only one runner comes here off the back of a win last time. That's Amaralar, who, he was very game, wasn't he, for Mick Shannon. That time it was Andrea Zaney on board at Newbury. Joe Fanning takes the ride here. We'll start with that one then, Rory.
Yeah, Amaralar is the one who comes here in form, having won the Stevenson Stakes at Newbury last time out. And on that occasion, he's beaten a couple who reoppose here. Beat Vancouver out by a short head, with Nabucco just behind in third. I would be gobsmacked if Amaralar beat those two horses again tomorrow. Mm-hmm. He was given a perfect ride by Andrea Zaney. Led, set perfect fractions. They came to tackle him and he found extra. He's always threatened that kind of performance, Amaralar, but Adzaini got every ounce out of him. Now, Joe Fanning is a fantastic jockey on front runners, but I just think that piece of form is a little bit flattering to Amaralar, and there are reasons why both Nabucco and particularly Vancouverite can reverse the form. Vancouverite was having his first run since finishing mid-div in the Dubai World Cup. He'd previously been a very good second in a Turf Group 1 in Dubai and had smart form last year for André Fabre in France. He looked in need of the run at Newbury beforehand, and he got rather upset in the preliminaries as well. So he did well to finish as close as he did, and he didn't get the greatest of rides by Jamie Spencer. As we said, that the race was bossed by Andrea Azzani on Amrala, and Van Cooferite had to come from too far back, but still almost got on terms in a race that he probably needed and wasn't cherry ripe for. So I thought he would come on for that run, would beat the other two, and I think he's a big player in this race. He's not the choice, though.
Okay, what is the choice?
I am giving one more chance to True Story, who's arguably been disappointing, given the way he's been talked up in the Godolphin camp, and by Kieran Fallon in particular. Fallon absolutely adores the horse. He won very easily at Newmarket in April. I thought he was slightly flattered by the margin of victory that day, but that's by the by. He was then a bit of a hot pot for the Dante, in which he finished third. That looked disappointing at the time, but the forms worked out very well, with the Grey Gatsby going on to win the Prix du Jockey Club. He ran a respectable race at Epsom, didn't look entirely happy on the track, and then he ran in the Eclipse last time out in a race where nothing got into it from behind. He wore a visor for the first time, wears it again. To be honest, the form of those races where he was, in inverted commas, disappointing, is probably good enough to win this anyway. And I think he'll appreciate the more straightforward track and the likely strong pace. And I think he'd bounce back. I don't think he has to bounce back, to be perfectly honest, but I think this is a perfect opportunity for him to show what he can do. I think he'd prove too good for these, with a little bit of improvement still to come from him, and then hopefully they can get him back to Group 1 level. Mm. We haven't mentioned Hillstar, who deserves to be favourite for this on the form that he's shown recently. He's been second at Royal Ascot, where Frankie gave him a poor ride, I thought, behind a stable companion. Wouldn't have won anyway, but would have finished a closer second. And then a good second to Cavalry Man at Newmarket in the Princess of Wales Stakes. Cavalry Man went on to win the Goodwood Cup, so it looks solid form. He will run his race, Hillstar. I just get the impression he'll be slightly overbet because he's such an obvious horse, and his win rate is not the greatest, to be perfectly honest. He's solid but not spectacular. Something with improvement can come past him.
OK, so we'll side with True Story there. He also gets a handy weight for age allowance in the 255, that is the Rose of Lancaster Stakes. The final race that we'll look at is the 305 from Newmarket. 7 furlongs of the trip for this Class 2 contest. We'll start with Englishman here, Rory. Very interesting run-up for Charles Hills, who, of course, won very, very nicely on debut at Newbury, then finished behind Dawn Approach in the Coventry at Ascot, no shame about that, then was off the track for nearly 2 years, and ran strangely at Thirsk and finished in 12th of 15. And since then has shown bits and pieces of form, but nothing like what he showed as a two-year-old.
No, but he's beginning to get his act together. He stepped up with each run this season. Well beaten at Thirsk, but that was after a very lengthy layoff. He then ran a little bit better at Doncaster without pulling up any trees. But he's been runner-up in his last two starts at Windsor and Newmarket. Travelled very well on both occasions. Looked the winner at one stage without seeing things out thoroughly. These are probably his conditions, and he should run a solid race again. So he looks a player in there. He's not going to be my selection in the race, but he's one who deserves to be towards the head of the market.
Okay, another one that's likely to be popular is Almago for Mark Johnston and Sylvester D'Souza. Another of those Johnston horses that just keeps on running, and even when they're in form, you know that they'll hit form eventually. Ran a good race last time at Goodwood.
Yeah, he's been in and out this season, but he wins races. He bounced back from a couple of poor runs when winning at Newcastle. I know that he was a price-wise tip that day and hit the bookies hard. Then ran a stinker in his next start before bouncing back and running at least as well when third at Glorious Goodwood behind Safety Check. Again, you'd expect him to run his race here as long as he don't get any degree of rain. That's a slight concern with him. He does want fast ground. And he will make a bold bid from close to the front here. Again, one who deserves to be a player, but once again, not going to be my selection.
OK, then what is the selection here, Rory?
Well, you get two for the price of one here, in a manner of speaking.
Okay.
The race in which Muthmere won at York the other day, it was hugely impressive. I know he didn't follow up in the Stewards' Cup when a lot of people expected him to, but he beat Gold Dream and Rennie Mathis. And Rennie Mathis did a lot of good late work that day. found the very sharp 6 furlongs against him on rattling fast ground at York, but was coming home 2-1 at the finish. And the step back up the 7 furlongs will suit him down to the ground. I thought the York form was very, very solid for all. Muthmeer was unable to back it up. And I expect Rennie Mathis to get back to winning ways off the same mark here. He does look well handicapped. I say 2 for the price of 1 because Gold Dream also runs in the first race at Ascot, the Shergar Cup sprint or the Shergar Cup dash, whatever they call it. They've got a sprint and a dash. And he's been in cracking form all season for Robert Kyle. That was a very good effort to finish second to Muthmeer. And I think he's got a favourites chance in the opener at Ascot as well.
Okay, so that York form looking, hopefully, pretty strong there. Could you just spin us through then your 3 picks, the 2 at Haydock and the 1 at Newmarket on Saturday, Rory?
I shall indeed. Chancery in the 220 at Haydock is the first of them. Then I go for True Story in the Rose of Lancaster at 255. And finally, Rennie Mathis in the 305 at Newmarket.
OK, great stuff. Thanks for your time and best luck with all those picks on Saturday.
Thank you.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.